episode of Conversation is supported by the generous donations of Klaus Schwab. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link. Truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
This is Klaus Schwab. Enjoy listening to Derek and Roro Nostalgia Hour.
You can't handle the truth.
We'll do it live. Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live.
I'm so drunk, fuck, tonight. Open up to your bum.
A lot of my opinions would make me seem like a lunatic.
Absolute wanker. You blockheaded bastard.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Rick.
Looks like a dick going towards an asshole to me.
I'm making fun of you.
Fellas, that you're so funny. The temporary ways, they're driving me crazy. So I'm taking your back.
Enjoy listening to Derek and Roro Nostalgia Hour.
Good evening and welcome to the Rick and Roro Show, presented by Rick and Roro. So starring Leapy Lee and the Cilla Black Dance Experience. All to you live on truthmeets.com.au. Thank you very much. I'm Kermit Neasden. Bye-bye.
How you doing, bud?
Fantastic. So that's what happened. Obviously, you must have paid. Oh, that was a professional Rick. Intro. Yes.
Yeah. I'm honored. Who was it? Yeah, Kermit Neasden. We're honored.
Kermit Neasden.
So it's Rick and Roller 68. It's Saturday the 21st of February 2026. So, I had a week off because
you were sick.
I was pretty damn crook. Oh yeah. I had double vision, like a headache that no amount of drugs could take away.
Did you have a go?
And I couldn't even drink. I couldn't even drink last Saturday night.
You're right. What a miserable
It was. I spent the week in bed, but I've come good. Like you say, I'm going to be Mr. Jingles. I'll live forever. But we've got plenty to talk about.
I'm just getting I love being unprofessional. Live on air.
Why I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
Now, Robert,
why would I? Yeah, well, when I hit the piss really hard, like on the vodka and, well, especially when I was doing vodka and Red Bull, I don't do that anymore. Vodka and lime and soda now. It does smell like napalm in the morning when I take a piss. It's even Rosie, you know, who sleeps in the bathroom.
You'd be urinating a fair look at the, if you could probably power an average generator with that urine, you should be bottling it up and selling it for barbecue people doing barbecue.
Gwyneth Paltrow style of making it into soap.
Yeah, goop.
Isn't that what she does? Goop.
No, she had a candle that smelled like her vagina. What kind of ego of a person? You're listening to...
Oh, my God, already. Rick and Roll is 68.
Truth Meets is supported by listener donations. You can support us, too, by going to truthmeets.com and clicking on the support link. Truthmeets.com. Click on the support link.
truthmeets.com would like to shout out Lord Rolo for his generous support this month. Thank you, Rolo.
Thank you very much. Actually, right, I'll introduce it. I knew that's the end of it. Right, this is Rick and Rolly 58 on the...
68.
Is this 68? On the...
68, not 58, yep.
Is it
Saturday, the 21st, 21st
of
February, 2026. Thanks for that. Thanks for that new bumper. Yeah, I did...
donate a lot of money.
I did give a... yeah, don't say how much. $600. Oh,
that's fantastic.
Sorry. Well, there you go. I've already said it now. I can't unsay it.
Good on you.
That's why last Saturday, just let me tell this story. Saturday, I thought Belichick was upset with me because he called about four or five times and I didn't answer because one, I wasn't well, and two, I thought he was cranky at me because for calling in sick last Saturday. Even though I did give him the, you know, when you guys were hassling me, which was a lot of fun. I listened back to it. It was a lot of fun. And you said you'd say sorry or something. I don't want you to say sorry or anything, but I finally answered the phone, and Velo was on there, and he had the best news.
Yes, Rolo.
I know I'm not allowed to talk about it.
So what are you talking about then? Why do you even bring that up?
No. Well, I've been given access to his streaming service, which is absolutely awesome.
I've got it on my TV
or Chrissy's TV last night. Yeah. We watched Waiting for Guffman. Okay. Waiting for Guffman. And, we watched Severance episode one, which is freaking awesome, but I don't want to get sucked in by one of those shows that is a bit like, I enjoyed the first episode. The lead actor reminds me so much of Tom Cruise. He's a Tom Cruise type guy.
Funny you should mention that guy, but his surname, I just discovered, is the same surname as the guy that came up with the kind of basis of technocracy, whatever his surname is. And
It was produced and directed by Ben Stiller.
Yep.
Who the comedic actor. So, it was very well done.
Swallowing beer.
The whole idea of the show, how it starts with the mystery.
It is fantastic. Is it seven or eight episodes in the first series?
Two series. Two series. I might give it a go. I don't know.
God's sake, do it. And then I can talk to you about it. I talked about it all last year. It was the first show I've ever sat and watched. Properly for years.
All right. Let's talk about Waiting for Guffman, how good that was. I didn't think it was quite as good as Best in Show, but it was good.
It's because you saw Best in Show first. So it's usually the first one you watch is the one that is better.
It had dogs and that. But, you know, the Waiting for Guffman, the whole, amateur theatre, the music in it was superb.
Yep.
And you're right, Parker Posey trying to sing badly, or that's they're cool, all trying it? To act badly, yep. But they do it so well. Catherine O'Hara with a constant cowlick reminded me of, you know, Cameron Diaz what was that called, Ben Stiller film, Something About Mary?
Mary.
Catherine O'Hara, Eugene Levy was... And the way that Christopher Guest has to take over the role of that really good-looking fella.
Yeah. What about when he's the guy that resigns from the role, the young good-looking guy, when he's in the service, he's in the garage where he works, and the boss is going, you can see the boss's eyes going, this guy's a goddamn
faggot. That is absolutely hilarious.
The guy's a goddamn faggot, and he's watching him kind of, so do you work out? So how much do you bench?
You know? you can see he had the hots for him. Yeah, absolutely. and the fact that he cancelled at the last minute and he has to replace him.
I hate your ass, mate.
Funnier.
I love
ensemble cast. That was the word I was trying to think of.
Ensemble.
Because it was basically, the same group of people in Best in Show. Fred Willard was awesome in it. Fred Willard was
fantastic. And he says he had to have a penis reduction. He's to have a surgery. He goes, I have to have a penis reduction.
Was Michael McKean in it? Waiting for Kaufman? I don't think he was. Christy says it's a rip-off of Waiting for Godot or something. So they're waiting for someone from New York to come and see their production, to see if they can go to the West End or Broadway. I enjoyed it. Your father didn't get to enjoy it because his new wife didn't have a sense of humor.
What's so funny about this? What's it?
Fucking hell.
The
parrot in the background.
I didn't quite have the tears of waiting, better in show, but it was good. It really was. And it was perfect on, am I allowed to name, Bellaset streaming service? Can I say the name of it? Or?
No, not unless he tells you to.
All right, I'll just say JF then. You know what I mean?
You've got to stop doxing and saying too much.
No.
You were going to.
Doxing is giving people's names and addresses.
You're good at that as well. And you're good at that.
Well, I don't do it.
Yeah, you reckon?
Not if I'm not well, but the quality of the streaming service that Bella set, I fell asleep watching Back to the Future 1. I haven't seen that in years. So I fell asleep to that last night and, I watched Apocalypse Now today. In honor of Robert Duvall, I love the smell of napalm in the morning. It's just as good as I remember it. Francis Ford Coppola's classic. There are so many movies that I like Robert Duvall, and he's always looked old. You remember I sent you that thing where he's on the swing in Invasion of the Body Snatchers with Donald Sutherland? Isn't that crazy? That tiny little cameo. Apparently, this is what I read. Him and Philip Kaufman got on really well together and, he did it as a favor. Just as a favor. Mm. Yeah. And, it was amazing.
How hot is it where you are?
At the moment, where's my phone?
Cause it's been really, really hot. The eastern seaboard.
Right. You want to know right now, do you? Here in Newcastle.
Yeah. It's very humid.
Let me look it up. Cambridge, Newcastle. There we go.
I don't believe that. I want to see an old style thermometer.
I don't have one.
Neither do I. Actually, I do, but I don't know if it works.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, you know, because what
temperature at the moment it's 26 degrees. So it's very humid. It is humid. Oh, yeah. I'm sweating. But I sweat when I eat a salad. You know that. I'm so unfit.
I got home at midnight last night from Sydney, and fantastic. I mean, for me, I left at what time do I finish work at 7:50? This is in Redfern. I know Surry Hills, and I managed to get home. I would say under 4 hours from there. Just fantastic. But I didn't sleep for ages. But that is my problem. So I wasted all today because when I got up, it was so hot that going outside was just.
I think it got up to about 33, about midday. That's when I walked down to get my, Amogalus. It is very humid. I got a bus on the way back because every bus comes past this place. That's the beauty. And he comes, Rosie's here to say hello to you. Rosie. She's just walking on the balcony. I'm just smoking my cigarette. What do you got in your hand tonight?
A Bex.
Yeah.
Well, so how can a case of beer that weighs like, you know, fucking heat, they're heavy. How can that, come from Germany, be brewed and bottled in Germany, and get over here, and it's like almost $15 cheaper than a local Australian beer. It's just fucking crazy.
There you go. I've got a fridge full of my usual James Bay. But the bigs are only the small and you're lighting up a doobie. Just a cigarette. I can hear that.
Well, speaking of doobies, I had someone gave me a said they're on a prescription gummies, you know, with whatever that. And he goes, try one. He goes, if you can't sleep, have one of these. Well, let me just tell you now, I don't know if people that smoke a lot of pot realize how out of it they actually are, but I don't. Right. So if I have any, and this, it was like a little green pastille, a sweet pastille. Yeah, yeah. I was
It supposed to do replace? So it's got THC in it. So in the gummy, it's got THC.
And so I was off my head within about 2 hours. I couldn't sleep.
Do you remember when we were on Rollo's balcony and we were doing those Xanaxes?
You were.
We're doing the Dexies and the Xanaxes, and oh man, that was such a good night.
MDMA.
I don't think Golden Skin Mark would mind.
You've already told the story.
He's such a good guy.
So, Rollo, how's your probation reporting going? Any adventures at probation land?
No problem whatsoever. I get on really well with my counselor. Yeah, that's right. And she said, look, there's nothing wrong with you. So every Tuesday, I just, rather than go in there and get her autograph, which is what I used to do, and sit through those bloody hour things that want to make me commit suicide, those hour long meetings, group. She just lets me call in from now on. So
that's fantastic.
It is, and she knows me down every time. Yeah.
You sound so much happier. If anyone wants to listen to you not being happy, go back 2 years ago, Rick and Rollo shows, or I guess on Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
You were not happy. Particularly 3 years ago when we were going through the COVID bullshit.
Oh, that... That almost ended me, but there you go. I might go back and look in the street one day after this year. I'll get my license back at the end of this year.
Is that good?
I get off my having to report at the end of this year. So there's a lot of things to look forward to. You watch. I'll probably bloody drop dead just at the end of this year.
No. You're going to be Mr. Jingles and you're going to be a grey hair. You're going to be a cat weasel lookalike roaming around trying to ring up people and everyone else, except for me. I'll be alive still, so don't worry about that. But everyone else be probably dead, except for me. So you can ring me up.
Let's go through a couple more rest in pieces. No, let's stick with Robert Duvall because he's the biggest one that I miss. I love...
THX, was it 918 or what? 11, whatever that number is. Great movie.
I wrote to you during the week. I always thought of him as old, even when he was in The Godfather, in 1972. And then, I loved him in Falling Down with Michael Douglas,
Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, you know what I mean? He's in so many good movies, but he's never really been a leading man. Do you know he was in MASH? The 1970 with Sally Kellerman and Donald Sutherland, the Robert Altman film. I can't remember, but before that, he got his start in some sort of cowboy thing, and he barely had hair back then. He reminded me of Brian Murphy, George and Mildred, Brian Murphy, who always looked old.
A bit more cool.
Oh, yeah. He was, he had charisma.
Was he in The Deer Hunter as well? I think he was.
It could have been.
Yeah.
Do you want me to go through his filmography? Yeah. Okay, give me a sec. I'll just grab my phone.
Tell me the cowboy movie here. Was it a cowboy movie?
We also lost James Vanderbeek, and well, we'll get to him because I've got something Dawson's Creek. I always thought I watched that show, but it wasn't that show. It was Northern Exposure that I used to watch, and I mixed it up with Dawson Creek with Rob Morrow.
Northern Exposure had that actor that all the chicks loved. John somebody. I didn't even watch it, so I don't know. But I thought Northern Exposure had.
I thought I watched Dawson's Creek, but I didn't. Here we go. That's
it sounds depressing and one of those boring.
It wasn't depressing. It was walking around in the snow in the middle of the street. And
Dawson's Creek apparently had Heath Ledger's wife, Michelle, what's her name, got her break in that.
Oh, yeah.
Michelle, whoever he married and had a baby.
Matilda. Jesus, we lost him way too young. So what am I looking up? I forgot already. Robert Duvall, that's right.
Filmography.
Get through his filmography, yeah.
I bet you he was in an episode of one of those 60s, because he would have been around the 60s, those science fiction shows. Read everything, sure. TV and movies.
We'll just go to the films. So just go. Robert Selden Duvall, born 1931, died February 15th, 2026, was an American actor, filmmaker, producer. Duvall started acting professionally on stage in 1952, performing summer plays at the Gateway Playhouse in Bellport, Long Island. He continued there till 1959 with a one-year break serving in the U.S. Army. Then he made contact.
I was going to say, he'd have to be in the Army.
Hmm. Yep. And then he made contacts that led him to a career on television in the 60s. He was in shows like the Defenders, Playhouse 90s, Armstrong Circle. I don't know any of this. And then he made his way on Broadway debut, Wait Till Dark in 1966. Then in 1977, he returned to acting on stage in David Mamet's play. I know David Mamet. He did Glengarry Glen Ross, one of my favorite movies.
Was he in that as well? I think he was.
It was David Mamet's American Buffalo, it was called.
American Buffalo was, I think, something to do with that that druggy actor. That he actually looked a lot like him. I'm surprised he never played that.
Well, he won an award for it.
The Gonzo journalist, whatever his name is. Got to come up with Gonzo journalism. Robert Duvall actually looks like him and could have played him in a movie.
Jeez. He was married 1, 2, 3, 4 times.
Wow.
4 times.
never learned after the first one.
Okay, so he made his film, feature film, in To Kill a Mockingbird in 1962. And then his early roles included Bullet, True Grit, MASH 1970, THX 1138. That's right. Harrison Ford. I saw Harrison Ford today in Apocalypse Now. Yes. A tiny little role.
He just comes in to bring the mission to, what's his name? He's actually had
Martin Sheen had
a heart attack while he was doing that role from all the drugs he was doing.
Yeah, that's right. And they were trying to get Marlon Brando or something, and apparently he was a typical pain in the ass. He put all his weight on, so they had to sort of film him, because he's supposed to be a soldier or something.
He was meant to be a special forces soldier living on the road.
He was so overweight,
He looked like
he wouldn't learn his lines. He was so Rick and Rollo.
Rick and Rollo.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
Rick and Rollo 68. Can you believe it? Number 68. And on this is the 21st of February, 2026.
26.
Back to Robert DeVal.
So back to Robert DeVal. So DeVal won the Academy Award for Best Actor for his performance in as an alcoholic former country music star in Tender Mercies, 1983. So well done for that. His other Oscar-nominated roles included The Godfather, 1972, Apocalypse Now, 1979. I love the smell of napalm in the morning. I knew when that was coming. I knew that when that line was going to come up when I was watching Velo's streaming today, and I played it over and over. It was just classic. You know? I think that's probably the greatest line that Robert DeVal's ever said. I love the smell of napalm in the morning. Yeah. Apparently, you know, Francis Ford Coppola said it was just a nightmare.
There's a fantastic documentary called Heart of Darkness, because that's the name of the book.
Yeah, that's right. It was based on that tiny little book. I've read that book. It's a hard read.
Yeah, what's his name? James or something or other that wrote the Hearts of Darkness.
I'll look it up. Keep it in your mind.
Just keep going through.
All right. The Great Santini in 1979. This is all the he was nominated for Academy Awards. The Apostle, 1997. Civil Action, 1998. And The Judge, 2014. Throughout his career, DeVal also starred in numerous television productions. He won the Primetime Emmy for Outstanding Limited Series, Outstanding Lead Actor in Broken Tale. Never seen it. His nominated roles, Lonesome Dove. I remember that. 1989. Was it?
I'm just saying that they were like TV music, you know. They were just those TV shows.
Lonesome Dove. Yeah, it sounds like, it's not like Days of Our Lives or The Young and the Restless or something, isn't it?
This is before Netflix and videos. Oh, no, sorry, videos had come out, but they were back when you got a TV become a kind of like a mini series. They were the mini series, basically. Yeah, they weren't like a show. It was a mini series, which is a new thing that happened in the '80s. Yeah, like Roots and all those other ones. Yeah, you know, he's a great character actor, and he was always likable. We were talking about Gene Hackman last week.
He died at his farm in Middleburg, Virginia, at the age of 95. Death was announced by a statement by his wife, Lusania Podestra. So well done, Robert DeVal, for I tell you what, that guy, you know, I didn't think he was that political. He was just there to entertain. That's what I like about people. Let's move on.
Knowing look, though. He had that knowing look that he knew stuff, but he just kept his mouth shut.
I think when it comes down to it, all the films I've seen him in, I think Falling Down, because he was basically the lead along with Michael Douglas. And that movie is so stressful, you know, Michael Douglas gets stuck in traffic and it's hot. He's got no air conditioning like you and your van.
My van's got air conditioning. My house hasn't, but you've given me an air conditioner. I just haven't had the money to get an electrician to come around and install the bloody thing.
Yeah. Mine works perfectly. And because of the 33 solar panels on the roof, I don't pay a cent for it. So yeah,
Shut up.
I was so cold. It was so cold.
Shut up.
Yeah. I know you're pissed off that I don't have to pay an electricity bill. All right, let's get on to James Van Der Beek from Dawson's Creek. He died of colorectal cancer at 48.
Turbo cancer, I call it.
I thought he might have died of the, I couldn't find any, anything where he'd taken the COVID-19.
Are you sure?
The spike protein, but he was a big promoter of the flu vaccine.
Okay.
Ads for the flu. Which is just as deadly, I reckon.
The flu shot is the kill shot without any doubt whatsoever.
I agree. It almost killed Christie's mother. She went totally yellow. She must have had a a really bad one where it had gone off, like off milk or something that you injected in?
Rollo. They're actually designed to do what they do.
Mm.
And some people, its immune systems aren't that good, that they've been sucked in by their medical advice to go and take a flu shot.
I hear you.
Her
skin went yellow, jaundice it's called.
Yeah,
and the whites of her eyes were yellow. It was a monster.
Chemical hepatitis, basically, from the kill shot.
Yeah.
The flu shot. Flu shot.
And she took him again the next year. She was so, and this is why your elders, you're supposed to think your elders are knowledgeable on that, but they're not.
It's because they were trained from 1940s and 30s onwards to trust the radio or the wireless, and then the TV came out, and then you had Dr. Marcus Welby, the TV show in the 60s, Dr. Kildare, but with Richard Chamberlain, all your heroes.
Oh, what a guy. I love that guy.
But so basically, your doctors were always the people that, you could trust, and they were the people that, are giving you the advice. And unfortunately, that generation, that's the boomer generation, we're sucked in by well-meaning people, well-meaning idiots. And look, the conversations I keep having with people, this old guy that was, when I was doing a job down the road here, and he came in and he said, he'd been 6 weeks in hospital because he just had a booster shot. And I went, you think that might have been the thing? He goes, oh yeah, I definitely was straight after that. I was toast. I was in hospital, nearly died a couple of times. And I'm like, because you cannot, these people will not listen to you. They'll just look at you in cognitive dissonance and say, oh, you must be one of those anti-vax people. That's what you must be one of those.
Yeah, like anti-vax. Like, how is that? Because it's so strong. It's so strong now that the media would, like, I've said it a million times, Virginia Trioli get dressing down that sports guy where he had the temerity on ABC Melbourne to say, I don't take the vaccine. And she gave the, you call her a witch.
She is a witch.
I agree with you. I mean, she's fairly attractive, but I don't care.
I can see, there's something about that woman. And I used to have friends of mine going, oh, Virginia Trioli's so fantastic, isn't she? So intelligent. And I was like, that woman's malicious, just like Dr. And the other one that's a complete and utter fuckwit of the highest met is Dr.
The guy off, Triple J with the colourful shirts.
Colourful shirts. And I used to bump into him.
Carl Kruzinski.
He apparently on Facebook yesterday, because I'm telling you, I get all my best stuff now off Facebook. There is, it's like if you're on X or, X is another one.
Isn't it called Meta now?
Meta.
Oh, whatever. At least I know what you're talking about.
Flying around demon called Metatron, just coincidentally. But yeah,
I think his name's Mark Zuckerberg, isn't he? Did he steal the software? He didn't even write it himself. He just bought it. Good on him.
He's just the front man for that.
He's a freak. He's a freakazoid. I think he's got his own island, like Epstein. He's got his own island.
Oh my God. Look, honestly, we've got some interesting things to talk about because, again, Facebook.
What about the arrest of
Andrew Bassenberg?
Goethe. Amazing. They finally, he's been released now, but, I can't Nothing believe it. I couldn't believe it. I'm there looking at my phone going, They arrested Andrew? Oh, and fucking Chuck, King Charles, threw him under the bus, basically. He just said, because he's already been stripped of his titles, so he's not Prince anymore. He's just Andrew. Yeah, I call him Randy Andy. Remember back in the 80s?
That was his nickname, Randy Andy, yeah. But anyway, blah, blah,
It'd be interesting to see if he spends the rest of his life in prison.
No, he is just being
He's above the law.
No, he's not. He's the fall guy for the family. But the whole thing is just going on steroids. Now, on Facebook yesterday, I'm all of a sudden, because back, I left it for 4 years through the COVID years because I knew I couldn't say anything on there. But now there are people sharing the most outrageous conspiracy theories you've ever heard in your life, including ones that, you know, obviously I knew about. Yesterday they've done it again. You know, this candy girl chick, Fiona Barnett from Sydney.
Right.
Her stuff is, she's named when I say everybody, is I'm doing it that thing like, in the movie The Professional, when the cop goes, everybody, or everybody.
Yeah, that's Gary Oldman, Gary everyone. Oldman. He goes, everyone. All right. Oh. Okay. He just says, he's exasperated. He just goes, all right, get everyone. And then he says to Luc Besson, the director, or the sound guy, can you lower it? Because I'm going to go.
And he rolls his eyes.
And he rolls his eyes back. And then he goes, everyone, at the top of his voice. And he just did that as a joke.
And
Luc Besson loved it so much. He used it.
That's my other favorite movie. When we're talking about movies tonight, I love
it. It was called Leon. Leon in
France.
France. Yeah, that's right. When the guy opens, he goes, this is from John Reno, when he gives it to Gary Oldman. The Ring.
Isn't it strange? You just picked up on something there, Rollo. She's Matilda in the movie. In the big, there's a recent PSYOP in Australia. Was it a baby or a 10-year-old girl? Her name is Matilda. Okay. What's his name? I just mentioned it before. From, you know, the best Joker, Heath Ledger, his daughter is Matilda. Matilda seems to be this name that keeps popping up in the media all the time. So there's a there. And she was Matilda in, and I just watched her again. It was too hot to go outside today, as far as I was concerned.
So I was inside freezing my nipples off with, you know, 22 degrees.
Shut up, Rollo. Shut up. You're bragging about. Anyway, I was inside with a fan on. I had the fan on. I'd rather have no air conditioning, to be honest, because I think air conditioning.
I had the fan going as well. I had the air conditioning and the fan to just keep the air circulating
Natalie Portman.
That's right. How old was she in that film? She was 12. Yeah,
very
right.
Creepy when you rewatch that movie. Anyway, I watched it with my youngest son. I said, "This is a great movie." And as we were watching, I was going, "Actually, it is creepy."
She fell in love with him.
But Luc Besson's movies are all fucking creepy when it comes to children, and I'll just say that.
Really?
And
What about the Fifth Element? I like the Fifth Element with Bruce Willis, and that was a good universe.
It had some creepy bits in there as well. But anyway, I watched today. I was sitting and I thought I pressed the button on my TV in my lounge room, and Netflix came on because I'm paying for Netflix now, $10 a month or whatever it is.
Screw Netflix, and just use Bellow service. Bellow will talk you through it.
I decided to rewatch Heat for no apparent reason because it was hot and it came up.
What a great film.
Yeah, and there's Natalie Portman again, underage, but, you know, playing a suicide. She tries to commit suicide in the movie. Spoiler.
Anyone who wants to, me and you go through Heat on an episode of Rick and Roller when Val Kilmer just died.
Yeah.
Remember? And we went through it at length because I just watched it as well. Val Kilmer was excellent in that film.
Yeah. Well, it's funny that you should say that because it's interesting that Danny Trejo actually plays his character. His name's Trejo. You know, that's the same character he plays.
I know the guy you look. He looked like Edward James Olmos with his facial scars or whatever. Acne when he was young. Yeah.
He is such a character. Like Mexican. They kind of very remind me of the Maoris, like really tough looking. And he was in jail. He was a junkie in jail in the '60s. He was in jail with Charles Manson in Rikers Island, or one of these big prisons in America. Yeah. But anyway, the movie is fantastic. It's completely. Because Robert De Niro's character, Neil, is so likable. But if you look at it, when you rewatch the movie, look, I just did again for the probably 20th time, I pick up more that you look at the victims, they were going around smashing security guards in the head with their butts of rifles and handguns, shooting, actually killed two of them, and three security guards get executed. Admittedly, one of them is by that Kevin Gage, I think his name is, the bad guy, who he is an incredible character actor as well. The guy that plays the bad guy that...
Right. It's been so long.
Kevin Gage.
It had Al Pacino. Al Pacino was right.
Yeah, Al Pacino.
When he was on the top of that building, I love that scene when he's on the top of that building and they know what they're going to get up to.
Yeah.
And, it's...
It's just
who directed it? Michael Mann. Yeah, it was Michael Mann. Yeah.
Yeah.
I tell you, that's a brilliant film. It's a long film. It's about 3 hours.
It doesn't drag.
It doesn't drag at all.
Well, it's kind of, there's a lot of unnecessary romance in there. And I'll have to tell you now, if Neil, you know, the character of Robert De Niro was a real, that he would never have got involved with that woman. There's an incidental chick that becomes his girlfriend. And that kind of semi, because he's always saying, if you can't leave everyone that you've ever met in your life in 30 seconds after the heat comes towards you, then you're making a mistake. So he says that all through the movie, yet he gets involved with this chick in the bookshop. So there's a lot of bad writing. And to be honest, Val Kilmer could... And he is not a good actor. In that movie, he is actually useless at acting, because when you rewatch it again, anyone could have played that role. I liked it initially, and I remember someone saying to me, he doesn't even act in that movie. And it's quite true. He doesn't. He puts no effort into anything.
It's all the action. It's all the action scenes that sell. Michael Mann. Michael Mann back in the 80s did Miami Vice, didn't he?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, and that was a TV show. I loved it.
Believe it or not, I Dream of Jeannie, he did some director, and Gilligan's Island, I think he was a director on as well.
In his early days, yeah. There you go. You got to get your start somewhere. Sidney Sheldon wrote, I think it was I Dream of Jeannie. Yeah.
And
poor Larry Hagman, he got so ripped off on that. That's why he got the big money in Dallas, you know. Because there's no way he was going to get ripped off again. Yeah, because they were going to kill him. They were going to kill him because who shot JR? Remember that? And because he said, "Look, I know what I'm worth," and he got paid for it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like seeing people get ripped off. Talented people, and
every time you switch on every roller, every time you every time you switch on TV and you watch an old episode of Beverly Hillbillies or whatever, nearly all of those, and especially Get Smart, Don Adams made a fucking nothing out of Get Smart.
Yeah.
So most
people, Beverly Hillbillies was Buddy Ebsen, wasn't it? His last days.
So Buddy Ebsen was meant to have been the Tin Man in Wizard of Oz, but
what a nightmare! The guy that actually had all that sort of silver paint put on him, it really screwed him up. Yeah, it was and the bloody witch caught on fire with a pyrotechnic. Rick and Rollo 68.
You're listening to
No matter what you say.
You're listening to another conversation.
Or your preoccupation.
On truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now on with the conversation.
The art of conversation.
Hello. You're listening to Truth Meets Community Radio Station with Rock and Rillo on the 21st of February in 2026. Back to the hosts, Rock and Rillo.
Thank you, Kev.
Thank you, Kev.
He does his job. He does his job well enough. Okay, so we've got another recipe.
Who?
One more to go till we get to other things I want to talk about. Jesse Jackson. I don't know if you are. So he was a guy that,
FBI. Yeah,
the enjoyable part. No, he's a sort of black preacher.
He was right up to his neck in the, he was the guy that told, what's his name that had that holiday in America that the other hero to go and stand over
let
there.
Let me read this. Jesse Louise Jackson, born on October 8th, 1941, died February 17th, 2026, was an American civil rights activist, LGBTQ rights activist, politician, ordained. What's it called? The alphabet community. Ordained Baptist minister, protege of Martin Luther King Jr. And
he was the one part of the civil rights movement.
So he
was the guy that said Martin Luther King, stand in that position over there, move over there, and all of a sudden he gets shot by the actor from another film that we liked, No Country for Old Men, one of the characters that hit me. I'm talking about the one that, what's his name, shoots in Mexico because he's another fellow hitman. From Cheers, what's his name, from Woody Harrelson. Woody Harrelson's father was
probably. That scene where he walks up the stairs and Anton Chigurh, Anton Chigurh comes into shot, with the bad haircut. And he's got that amazing gun that he has, with the silencer and that. And they had that conversation. And he says he's trying to buy his way out of. He goes, but Anton Chigurh had what do you call it? This is my oath. I can't break it. Yeah, I mean you're gonna die, no matter what.
Yeah.
But he he makes him. Struggle. He's got the most best 10-gallon hat on, Woody Harrelson.
His father, Charles Harrelson, was a hitman for the he was an ex-military.
Really?
Yeah, he was in jail. Yeah, and they think he was possibly the guy that put
I think he's a great actor. I've always liked him. I'm Cheers. Was he in
Natural Born Killers?
Natural Born Killers. That's right, Quentin Tarantino. What was that? What was that film with Courtney Love? He was in. People versus Larry Flynn. He did that in the Hustler magazine.
As Rick and Rollo is semi-conspiracy theory bent, there'll have to be...
No, it's just not pure nostalgia. That's all we do. We're not conspiracy theorists.
I may or may not know one. But anyway, so Woody Harrelson's father was a convicted hitman who went to jail. He was apparently the one... Jesse Jackson, Wikipedia off. Let me just tell you, Jesse Jackson set up Martin Luther King to get shot. Whether he got shot or not, I don't know. But it was Jesse Jackson that said, move over and, stand in that position. He was up to his nuts in it, FBI.
Let me tell my favorite Jesse Jackson story. Let me tell you. It was an episode of South Park. I don't know if you ever watched. Do you watch South Park at all?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there's an episode where Randy's on playing Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah, I know.
And
the one.
Do you know how Wheel of Fortune works?
Yeah,
and the clue is people who annoy you.
Yeah,
and then he does all the letters and whatnot, and it goes N blank G G E R S.
And
he didn't know it was being recorded live, and he yells it out at the top of his voice because he thought he was going to win $30,000. He says the cheapest way she turns the A around, naggers, people who annoy you. I love the black guy that's behind the camera looks
staring
out.
Staring him. So funny. I did love
and it. And he had to, and Randy, after that, to say sorry to the black community for saying the word on air. He had to kiss Jesse Jackson right on the arse, between the cheeks.
You know, so according to Casey Gain, who I've spoken to before, who's on the Opperman show as well, he's been right through. Casey Gain does some fantastic stuff, and there's a book about Bob Marley and the getting whacked, the Bob Marley assassination. Casey Gain, and there's a few other people.
Someone's joined us. Sorry to cut you off there, Rick. Someone joined us. Hello.
Hey, I'm only here for 1 minute.
Oh, no, you can't. You can come in.
Hey, Susie, get it.
Susie, you've got what we call the royal pass of Rick and Rollo. Whenever you turn up, you can stay as long as you want.
You're welcome.
Oh, my shit don't stink. That's fantastic. Hello.
Hey, Susie, didn't you say today you shit on the casting couch? What was that?
No, you're talking about some actor bitches. Oh, they can be on my casting couch anytime. And I thought about Amber Heard.
Poor Amber. Yeah. Rick still fancies her. She could shit in his bed any day of the week. Isn't that right, Rick?
Well, I just said that I have, you know, new sheets and some disinfectant.
No, she's coming over. You got to put on the old sheet.
So
Her and Johnny Depp went at it in the courtroom. She didn't look quite as cute as she did like when she was in Aquaman. She was quite cute in the first Aquaman.
Well, I saw Aquaman 1 and 2, and
Jason, what's his name? Jason
Momoa.
Why not?
Did you guys see that video of Jason Momoa sort of rubbing along on his, I don't know, daughter's breast?
Well, that wouldn't. Look, I've seen. I'll tell you one interesting one, Susie. I saw a documentary on Kubrick, the director.
Stanley Kubrick,
and it was old footage of his, and he had his daughter on his knee, and he was bouncing her up and down on his knee really fast. And I was going, that's not normal to do things like that, you know, because the daughter, obviously, it's like riding a horse for a girl, quite pleasurable. Yeah. And he was doing it really fast. And I remember going, there's something creepy about that. Just, you know, as a conspiracy theorist, so I can spot things.
I agree with you guys for, I don't know, Rollo, maybe you didn't see it. I don't know. The Professional, Leon Professional.
That's creepy.
Yeah, we were just talking about it before.
My youngest son, because I said we've got to watch this movie. It's fantastic. As I was watching it with him, it's just like, I guess, anytime when you're watching a movie and you hope, and I was going, actually, that is creepy because she's got her underpants on and flirting around with a 50-year-old man. Yeah, that's creepy.
Yeah, young Natalie Portman was 12 and John Reno was 50 at the time, wasn't he? Yeah.
Or more.
Still great. And Gary Oldman's everyone.
Yeah, no, but you've got to look at these directors that would allow that narrative to go on.
And the music in it too, Eric Sierra did the music in it, which was absolutely, and the cinematography in it was just fantastic. Yeah, that flight over.
But the underlying creepy thing ruins the entire movie. That it's basically about a 12-year-old girl walking around with a little pair of knickers on, being filmed by an old. And I had a conversation. I had some great conversations recently. But
I've read a lot of things that Natalie Portman said. There was nothing untoward. It was.
Rollo, she said that. Rollo, but I'm telling you, if you're a parent or you're a female and you rewatch that movie, you go, this is unnatural, and that is definitely being played as a subconscious thing that, you know, it's normal
There's nothing natural. You've got Gary Oldman. He said, go inside. And he goes in there and murders. He murders her whole family.
Yeah. No, I know, but we're talking about
including her little brother.
Exactly.
Her little brother.
But it's not that. It's the underlying context of the movie is about a very young girl being infatuated by
I'd be... Would she even understood it at the time, what movie she was in?
Her parents allowed her to be in her knickers, and I'm talking about a little pair of knickers. They weren't like a big pair of bloomers. She was a pair of knickers and a
yeah, like Sigourney Weaver in Alien with her little knickers.
No, Rollo. This is a 12-year-old girl. If you're a parent or even a person that understands the vulnerability of females. This is
well. I'm not a parent. There you go. So maybe that's why problem. I don't.
Well, I didn't.
Yeah, I'm not a parent.
I didn't notice it till I became a parent and watched it with a child, and I went, "Actually, you're right." Because my son was going, "This is a bit creepy, Dad," and I went, "Actually, sorry, you're 100% correct." So,
Susie, did you like Leon the Professional? Did you like the movie or not?
No, because of that fact, and she gets all dressed up for him, and now she's attracted to him. And I'm like, this is not good. Turn it off. Yeah.
And he comes out, he goes, hello, Matilda. Matilda, you remember? With the oven glove. Yeah.
It's interesting that there's definitely a there with the name Matilda. It's been reused.
Have you seen the original film, Matilda? I think it's a Disney. Is it a Disney film?
I was babysitting once and the kids watched it.
Yeah.
I couldn't remember it for the life of me. But I just know that I did that once. That's all I know. I don't remember the movie actually at all.
I think it's pretty forgettable, but there you go. You're never going to forget Leon or The Professional. It is unforgettable. Once you watch it, you can't unwatch it, you know.
Again, when I used to watch it when I was young, you know, younger and before I was a parent, I never noticed that context.
I think Chrissy really likes it because of the revenge aspect that Leon gets on Gary Oldman's character.
I cannot enjoy that movie ever again once I started realizing that Jean-Luc Besson, and he's up to no good for sure. Because, you know, the other actor, I'll tell you a real story. The other actress he used in the movie that you just mentioned before with Bruce.
The Fifth Element, it was called.
Fifth Element, okay. You know the female lead in that movie, French actress? I was talking to this chick from
I'll look it up right now.
She's actually in a lot of big science fiction stuff, and she's got these kind of very unusual.
Give me a sec. I'll look it up.
She's a French actress. So she came over here to Australia to play in the sequel to the movie that Brooke Shields was in.
Blue Lagoon. Oh my god, I love that movie. How old was she when she
underage?
She was 14. Wasn't she 14?
And it gets worse.
Christmas something. That's right. Leo McKern was in that. I remember the crab.
Yeah, the crab scene.
The crab scene where it comes out of his mouth. Yeah.
Well, I'm talking about
this. This is way before CGI.
Okay. Well, this conversation's relevant. So if you remember to talk about Blue Lagoon, then the sequel that was filmed, Blue Lagoon 2, they brought over this. She's a famous French actress that was in there. Anyway, I was talking
You're thinking of Mila Jovovich.
Yep, Mila Jovovich. So her parents, she was 13 or 14. Her parents allowed her to come to Australia, and then they went over and shot the film in somewhere in Polynesia. And I had the conversation right in my house, I can see the chair right in front of me with a chick came over, a friend, and she worked on that movie, and she was only 16 because she got a job in the film industry in the art department. And she said
you were doing security back then.
No, this has got nothing to do with me. And this is way before I got anything involved. This is Blue Lagoon 2.
Mm-hmm.
I was not. This is not nothing to it. Anyway,
I thought you might have worked security on.
No. Anyway, this chick was on many, many big films. She blows me out of the water with all those stories that she had Val Kilmer chatting her up, et cetera, you know, all sorts of amazing things.
I don't doubt it. She's a beautiful woman. Okay, so The Fifth Element, 1997, English language French science fiction film. Conceived by and directed by Luc Besson and co-written by Robert Mark Kamen, Bruce Willis, Mila Jovovich, Gary Oldman was in it again, another Ian Holm was in it, Chris Tucker was in it. Yep. So,
I'm pretty sure
I remember it.
There's a big time here. So Chris Tucker's heavily mentioned in the Epstein files, big time.
Oh, yes. Well, there are. It's the muddy, the water's so muddy with the FC anyway, files at the moment.
Julie Andrews. So what I'm talking about, as usual, totally exclusive, but this chick that was around at my house talking about the old days and film, she said she was only 16 herself and Miller was only 15 and she bumped into her crying. And on the set, and she said, "What happened?" And she said, "Insert name of, I won't name the name, but someone slept with her when she, you know, and she was really upset about it. So her parents allowed her to be on this film by herself without any, parental, whatever." And something happened to her and she was crying her eyes out and she was really upset and spoke to this, you know, because she trusts this girl because this girl was only 16 that was talking to her, the one that was here. This happened in the late 80s, I guess, or it was the early 80s, mid 80s. So this whole thing about creepy movies and creepy directors is a thing. This is not a fake thing that young people are used and abused on films. And Mila Jovovich was one.
Do you know that Debbie Harry Blondie song called Pretty Baby?
No, but it sounds creepy. I have to say, Julie Andrews, Rollo. Julie Andrews.
Yeah, so Pretty Baby, Blondie did a song about it, and it was about that movie.
Really?
What's your favorite? I don't remember it either. I remember Heart of Glass.
So, Julie Andrews, Rollo, you might be getting irrelevant here. So,
No. Heart of Glass, Blondie. Yeah.
Yeah, I know, but Julie Pretty Andrews. Pretty Baby. All right, Julie Andrews, Rollo, you can talk.
Let me look up Pretty Baby.
The film Pretty Baby had Brooke Shields as a 12-year-old naked, full frontal in that movie.
Like, that's the most fucked up movie. Yeah. People gloss it over like, well, that was a movie.
That was 1982, 83. And I remember, you're listening to
Rick and Roll. Rickenroller 68. 68 was...
Truth Meets is supported by listener donations. You can support us too by going to truthmeets.com and clicking on the support link. Truthmeets.com, click on the support link.
Truthmeets.com would like to shout out Lord Rollo for his generous support this month. Thank you, Rollo.
Rollo. Oh, actually, okay, 68, episode 68, Rick and Rollo, total exclusive. We're talking about some interesting stuff here about, this isn't Epstein files, this is the Rick and Rollo files, talking about some interesting stuff. So, yeah, Susie, that movie, Pretty Baby, it starred one of the Bottoms brothers, Joseph or Tim or whatever, I can't remember. It starred Brooke Shields as a 12-year-old. It was directed by a French director, again, like Luc Besson, introducing this kind of unnatural relationship between young people and whatever.
Can you please tell me what in the hell are the Bottoms brothers?
Yeah, so interesting. Well, so well, that's the actor. But
I mean, just remember. And
Joaquin Phoenix is a Bottom as well. So Bottom is a surname. Yeah. And so there was
the connected. What the? Okay.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah. That's, so Joseph Bottoms, Tim Bottoms, there's a number of them. one of them stars in Pretty Baby. Let's look up.
Sorry.
Rollo, can you read Pretty Baby, the about the movie?
Pretty
Baby. Pretty Baby. Oh, sorry. I've got. Do I have to shut up now? Or?
You know, no.
I couldn't remember if you'd binaried me on or off. Okay, Deborah Ann Harry, born Angelina Trimble. That was her real name, 1945.
Really?
She's 80 years old. She's 80 years old, and she still looks hot. She still looks hot.
No, yeah, she's not monster. Hot, but she still looks.
Sorry. There's a couple.
Was Heart of Glass. It was Heart of Glass.
That's a creepy like song as well.
And naked ladies and, you know, tits and slasher movies. I don't care. I want Wayne to watch tits all day. I don't care. But Debbie Harry to me is the hottest chick. And I'm like, don't look at her. She's so hot.
Yeah, she's got a beautiful face.
The first day that I joined Discord, they were like, "Oh, Debbie Harry's a man."
No, like,
oh, that would have been on Fakeologist. That would have been Fakeologist. It would have been on Fakeologist.com.
They told me that Debbie Harry's a man.
No,
and I'm like, she's literally the classic hottest photo that I don't want my husband to look at.
Absolutely,
you know?
Absolutely.
Rollo,
in 1977, she had a red dress on. And she had her legs fully spread. And it was a photo that she was most proud of. And she used to sign it, you know, for fans. She would happily sign it. She was so happy with that photo being taken.
Man, I love Blondie.
Debbie Harry was meant to be. She was a Playboy bunny. She also claims that she was Ted Bundy tried to pick her up in a car. And she didn't just
get it. I didn't see her Playboy photos. I have to find
out now. No. She was a Playboy bunny, not a Playboy model. Playboy bunny at the restaurants that or the nightclubs.
Yeah. Holy absolutely. Shit!
She was.
I did not know that.
Didn't David?
Yeah, mate. David. Yeah. What's his name?
She was in David. David Videodrome.
And she was too.
Yeah.
Anyway, Rollo, while you're doing your research, can you look up Pretty Baby and read the movie by, and it's the same. So when we've talked about this show before.
What year was Pretty Baby?
81. 82?
Pretty Baby. All right. I'll read the cast list for you.
Why are we talking about sick movies? But I remember being a little kid watching Blue Lagoon.
Yeah.
And
I love that movie. Even though she was underage. It was 1978, Pretty Baby. No, it was 1978, Rick.
Okay.
Is a historical drama directed by Louis Malle and Polly Platt.
So Brooke Candace, Shields.
Keith Carradine.
Okay, so yeah. It wasn't the bottoms. Okay,
didn't he self delete? Didn't he do a Michael Hutchins song?
No, David Carradine.
That was David Carradine that did that.
John Carradine was a Satanist of the highest magnitude. The father of Keith Carradine. So there's a kind of connection here with strange people that shouldn't be hanging around children. So Keith Carradine was the lead actor. Brooke Shields comes into the room with completely naked as a 12-year-old in that.
Susan Sarandon's in it as well. So it's set in 1917. It focuses on a 12-year-old girl being raised in a brothel in Storyville in a red light district of New Orleans by a prostitute mother, Barbara Steele, Diana Scarwin. Antonio Fargas appears in supporting roles. The film is based on a true account of a young girl who was actually sexually exploited and being groomed to engage in prostitution as a child.
It ties in. Louis Malle.
Michael Jackson, they're still trying to pin that he was in the Epstein thing, but all he did was like some sort of financial thing.
I think that Michael Jackson was probably completely loaded up because and George Michael, the only three people to successfully.
Rolf Harris as well. I think he was innocent.
He wasn't
a saint, but I don't think
he wasn't chasing children around. And Two Little Boys, that fantastic song, was nothing to do with Two Little Boys.
My mother worked with him in the BBC. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. But anyway,
all right,
Louis Malle's wife was Candace Bergen from the show that you used to watch as well.
That's right.
The journalist.
Friends. No, Candace Bergen was in that bloody awful Murphy Brown, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So that was Louis Malle's wife. So she married him back in the 70s.
I hated that show as much as I hated Friends. I hated Friends and Murphy Brown equally.
Yep, I agree. And I agree.
On Monday at 7:30, I just couldn't escape it. Everybody loved it. And I said, it's canned laughter. There's no jokes.
Yes.
I just want to punch myself in the face.
Your brain was awake that you didn't get sucked into a crap TV show.
Oh, God. I mean, Seinfeld, at least it had a few jokes in it.
I love Seinfeld. I don't care what anyone says. I love it too.
Exactly.
There's a big there with these child actresses. And so we're going back to particularly Brooke Shields. Now, if you go onto Facebook right now, all of a sudden this Mr. E type transvestigation are showing what she looks like now. And they're saying that she was a man all along. And they're also saying an actress what's the name? The granddaughter of Ernest Hemingway, Hemingway. They're saying that she's a man. And I reckon these girls are just using male hormones like Madonna did because it makes you more muscly. They use testosterone. They're shooting testosterone. They're lean, they're mean.
She was so hot.
So Mariel Hemingway.
I wouldn't look sideways now. Brooke Krista Shields was born 1965.
Yep. So she's a year younger than me.
She is 60, yeah. Yep. A year younger than you.
Started acting
at the age of 11 months. Shields gained widespread notoriety for her leading role in Louise Miles, which is
Pretty Baby, naked and
Pretty Baby in 1978.
Yeah.
In which she appeared in the nude scene.
Full frontal naked at when she was 11 years of age.
She was 11 years. Yeah. Oh my God. And then she was in Blue Lagoon, which I remember well. And then she was in Endless Love. I remember that movie too. Frank Zeffirelli. Yeah.
Well, she wasn't
abused.
But you know, I'm sorry. I bet she was. And Mother was almost guaranteed like the pimp that allowed that girl to take her clothes off in front of a whole audience with a dirty old French director, Louis Malle. And then that fits in with the director that's doing Leon the Professional.
She was married to Andre Agassi, the tennis player.
For two years.
Andre Agassi.
There's a whole link there.
How about young
females, dirty old French directors, and we're talking about Louis Malle and the one that did. What's his name? Leon the Professional. There's a subplot in these films, but yet apparently, Brooke Shields is straight out related to elite families in Italy. She's like blue blooded.
Unreal.
She's not just a pretty face. Pardon the pun, pretty baby. Mm. She was a pretty face back then.
I'm looking at her now. She's still pretty at 60.
Well, have a look at Mariel Hemingway. Everyone's.
I'm going to the fridge to grab another drink. Let's ask Susie, what's in your hand? Have you got a beer in your hand or a.
Fucking hell. Drink? It's almost 4 in the morning. I'm drinking a little bit of wine.
Oh, that's right. You're in America. 4 in the morning. You're in America.
You are definitely worthy of being on the Rick and Rollo show if you're hitting the wine at 4 in the morning.
We're proud. We're proud to have your company.
How am I going to hang out, man?
Is Wayne sound asleep in another room, snoring?
Holy shit. He was cooking and drinking all day. And he
good man.
Was stumbling around. When a 6'4" dude goes around, it's all like there's an earthquake going on.
That's fantastic. So he said stumbling around because it might fit in with the song we're going to go out with that I thought would be really good for this episode. Stumbling still. Fantastic.
Really? Really? I wanted to go out with a song, but there you go.
Rolla, if you want to. You take precedence.
No.
You've been sick.
Stumbling around. Who sung it?
Stumbling Still.
I can just imagine a 6'4" guy, which is your husband, stumbling around. Like, I'm only 5'11". Rick's 6'2".
Rolla, I'm 5'10 or 11". You know,
I'm taller than you. I'm taller than you.
Me and you are the same height, but I think
None of us are 6 foot. So he's 6 foot, what, 4? Can you imagine him stumbling around?
Well, you know that she's only 5'3" or something or other. Is that right, Susie?
You're only 5 foot. You're a real dwarf.
She's an Oompa Loompa.
Five. That's it.
I've got some more notes. Can I go through a few other things?
Rollo.
All right. You wanted to know where I met James Rain from It was Lizotte's. I met him at Lizotte's. Do you know Mark Lizotte? It was the brother of
Mark Lizotte. It's his brother is not Mark. The guy
is Johnny Diesel.
Yeah, Johnny Diesel is Mark Lizotte, but his brother owns Lizotte's. So you're right.
I met James Rain that night, and he gave me a gobful because he turned up without his band. So he just played acoustic that night, and I wanted him to play. I went there especially for Beautiful People. So I said, can you play Beautiful People? He goes, I can't play without the band. I go, well, I've already you know, I, you know, paid $65 for the ticket.
$65?
Yeah, I know. For the but that includes the meal. That includes the meal and the drink.
I wouldn't pay $5 to go and see him.
I was very cranky. I was very cranky at the, and we were right up the front too. And I got up on stage and I said, "I want," and I grabbed him and I said, "I want Beautiful." And he goes, and he played acoustically Beautiful People, but then he played a couple of bars of it. I wanted the whole song. Oh, Errol. I would have wanted that too, but he didn't play that either. So he didn't play Errol.
That's why I could never be a musician. Or, you know, imagine going out and you're standing on stage and you've got some idiot fucking in the audience, a useless eater, coming up and telling you, "I paid $65, you're going to play this." And I'm going to say, "Oh, no, I'm not going to sing or do whatever you want. I'll do what I want."
It'll be nuts. I don't think I was ever allowed back.
Is it still open, Rollo? I don't think it is.
It is, but they've changed their name. I think they've changed their name, but the it's still you pay an exorbitant amount of money, but you get a really good meal and a good show. Waiting for Guffman? Listen, it's waiting for Guffman on stage sometimes if you get a really good show.
Is that in Lambton?
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
Okay.
You got it.
I thought so.
It's exactly where it is. Yeah. Yeah. It's a lovely stage. And I walked out the back and saw the dressing rooms and where they do all the, it's very waiting for Guffman like. And, look, I had a really good night that night. I was wearing my purple suit. I didn't have the Joker makeup on, but James Raiden I don't think he was in the mood. Do you remember that time I went and met the guy from Noiseworks? What was his name? John Stevens. Yeah, John Stevens. And I wanted his autograph. Not for me. No. Oh, well, he joined In Excess afterward. He sang for me. I said to him, the night Doc Mason died, I asked him to sing, "Am I Ever Going to See Your Face Again?" And the band played it perfectly. And I just wanted his autograph for someone, not me, but someone else. I'm not into autographs. I'm just not into it. I couldn't be asked, but it was for someone else. It was, someone on Fakeologist, liked John Stevens. He spells it J-O-N, not J-O-H-N, which is the way you normally spell it.
Yes.
John Stevens. And his voice. That Noiseworks song, what is it? What's his biggest Noiseworks? Oh, I'll have to look it up. Maybe we can go out with that song. That Noiseworks song. I'll look it up and Bella Noiseworks can attach it to the end. I thought Bella would join us. Is Susie still with us? What's Susie's favorite band?
I just like being here with you. Just keep talking.
Mm-hmm.
She's into strange Australian men, obviously.
All right, let me look through the rest of my notes here.
You guys remind me of my friends that I had like growing up. Like we talked about everything.
Yeah, I was thinking about that.
Choose my friends from a billion people. I'd be like, I want those guys.
I'll
tell you another movie I watched during the week. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Have you guys ever seen that movie?
Yes.
Yeah, I was gonna watch that thing, 10 Things You Didn't Know About It or whatever. But I hate looking at myself.
Yeah, that's right. The Mr. Minty guy. Yeah. So apparently Elton John wrote a song for it, but Paramount had an issue and it never got used and it never got released. I would love to have heard Elton because I'm a huge fan of Elton John or John Elton as what was his name that Ali G used to call him when he interviewed him?
His real name is
Maurice Micklewhite or is that Michael Caine?
That's Michael Caine. No. Elton John's surname's completely normal.
It's Reggie Dwight. We went and sat out. We cheapskated one night when he came to Newcastle. and yeah, did an outdoor concert. And with Rick and Rollo, Susie,
woo-hoo!
58.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
Right. 1, 2,
hello.
3.
Hello. This is somebody's sister, and you're listening to a rock. And Rollo with Susie.
Rollo and Rick. Sorry, Rollo and Rocco. Rollo and Rocco.
Susie. That was really good. That was really good.
Rollo, are you all being mean to me? Because my name is Ken, and I'm introducing. Roland Rico show on the 21st of February 2026. And it's number 68, be told. Oh, sorry, Rick and Rollo.
Thank you, Ken. Thank you, Ken. Thank you, Ken. This is the greatest show, I think, to Rollo.
It's the greatest show ever.
Rollo, shut up. Yeah, this is the greatest show I've ever done. Okay.
That was great, Susie, that was a great outro.
I love when you go, for fuck's sake. I never heard that song before. Is that a real song, for fuck's sake?
Oh, yeah. Jolo. You shit me to tears. Give me a break.
That song, for fuck's sake, that I used to
you
do
on the
podcast. He made that up for a famous media personality over here for his solo FM show back in 2003 or something. Yeah. For fuck's sake. And I used to come in and go, for fuck's sake, have you been watching this or, you know, whatever? I used to come in and do my for fuck's sake.
Do you guys know that the reason that Planes, Trains and Automobiles got the hard R rating was that one scene where he goes up to the, cause his car's not there and he wants a car to get home for Thanksgiving. Yeah. And Steve Martin says 18 fucks in a row. And it's in only one scene, and it gets a hard R, and it still made money, that movie.
It was a great movie.
And, and Steve Martin said to John Hughes, who wrote and directed it, said, we gotta leave that scene in. if you cut that scene, I'm out of here. I'm not gonna do it. But and then him and John Candy ended up getting on really well together because he was
funny movie. Now, can I just reiterate to anyone out there, if you want to watch some of the funniest films ever put on celluloid, the other ones directed by Rob Reiner's father, Carl Reiner, another dubious person. They had Steve Martin, so we got The Jerk. We've got All of Me.
He hates these cans.
honestly. The Jerk, and The Man with Two Brains.
You sound like the girl, Susie, you sound like the girl behind the counter that's actually talking to Steve Martin. You're fucked. When she says, say, you're fucked.
You're fucked. I don't know.
Yeah, that's it. You nailed it.
Yeah. So that wasn't a funny movie.
The Tenants, 1999, You Shit Me to Tears. Maybe we'll go with that. The Tenants?
No.
You Shit Me to Tears?
No.
You should do Pretty Baby. Right.
Pretty Baby?
Yeah. Oh, we could if you want to.
I'm sending this to Belzette. We're going out with this one. You shoot me to tears.
Well, that's funny because it reminds me of your time with John Laws.
I just put it in. I put it on the balcony. Let's have a look at the balcony. What have you written during the week?
Roses are red, violets are blue. You ship me to tears. I'm going to the pub. What are you?
I said that to John Laws. Oh, yes, bless his heart. Bless his heart. And he read that. And look, seriously, I've still got him reading that on air. When he was back in TUE before he went to 2SM.
Yep.
I honestly miss him every day. I honestly, I want a fucking car. That's Steve Martin.
He goes, we're going the wrong way. And then he's like, how do they know where we're going? Is that what that, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, the scene where he goes onto the turnpike because he spun around. He spun around. Yeah, you're going the wrong way, and they think they're drinking.
How do they know?
And then he turns into the devil, and then you've got what have you got? You've got basically there's a cut shot where there are skeletons with eyeballs, and that's a scary thing as a kid, you know.
Yeah, I can't remember any of these scenes, Roller.
Oh, the bit at the end, apparently they changed the ending. They did a test screening of it. The ending was beautiful. The one that they used, because I think they reshot it, because the original ending was supposed to be he doesn't go in, he walks away alone. And so there's no arc, and like you would just go, oh no way, that would be awful. No, whereas the way his wife comes down the staircase, and she goes,
I haven't seen that film since 1980 something or other. It was funny, and I love the scene when they're in the bus and Steve Martin wants let's all sing a song, and Steve Martin picks this really beautiful old song.
Flintstones. The Flintstones.
And John Candy goes, let's sing Three Coins.
Yeah, because he was trying to sing Three Lines in the
Fountain. And everyone's going, can't you just shut the fuck up? Let's sing the Flintstones, and everyone like sings the Flintstones. That's about life at the moment. Life is like that now.
And then when the train breaks down and Del's trying to hold that thing over the, and then Martin's there just shaking his head, going, "I've got to help this guy." You know when he's because we at that time we don't know that Del's wife has died. So that end bit
I forgot about that
end scene, because you know his whole life is in that trunk.
Yeah,
because he doesn't have a home or anything, and he's a shower curtain guy. He's funny. It gets him out of a lot of pickles, doesn't he? Because of his connection. That's the beauty of it. Yeah.
Well, the good thing at the moment, because I've got this big, huge lounge room and I'm home by myself and with a TV with connected to.
That's right. Norbert's in Melbourne.
Well, my son will be back tomorrow morning. He's just come back from New Zealand. So
the other son. We call him Heinrich. Yeah. And Enid. Where's Enid?
She's back in New Zealand. I was meant to go over there. What a hopeless, hopeless person I am.
We've got to go down to Melbourne and play some blackjack at the casino on the Arrow.
I'm definitely going to Melbourne next. Definitely.
Now that I've given my 600 to, am I allowed to say it? No, I'm not allowed. JF. Oh, the JF screaming string service.
No, it's right. You've given it to truthmeats.com. That's the $600.
Yeah. Go.
Hey, Rolo, you paid for a whole year of Hoax Syndicate way back when the Fart podcast was going on and no one was asking for money. Yeah, you donated before you gave Ab money.
100%.
I just want to say that, you know, everyone's busting your balls, but you've given money before and when no one was busting your balls.
And he sent $400 to Ab. So Ab got $400. He paid for Baco Tube for a year.
That's what I'm saying.
It wasn't a problem. Wasn't a problem. I'm not short of a quid. I'm not a millionaire, but I'm not short of a quid. I like a drink. I like where I'm living now.
What were you guys just talking about? I was going to say something and now.
Did we knock a thought out of your head?
That's the problem with the Rick and Rollo show. If you've got a great idea, you have to get it out before we ruin it for you.
I used to remember
when I went to Ireland and I met up with Del.
Serious? What were you just talking? All right, never mind.
I used to talk to Del Quar, and he loved smoking a blunt, and it was hard to keep a thought in his head. He was still a great guy though. He showed me around Northern Ireland. He took me to the Kelly's. Northern Ireland was pretty dangerous back in the day. It wasn't when we were there. No, it was fine. We saw all the murals.
Murals.
Yeah. You know, the famous ones, you know, the ones, you know, when they had the wall.
There'd be no Mark Cullen.
Oh, yeah. Was it Liam Neeson? Did he do Michael Collins? They had nothing to do with the Northern Southern Strokes.
Collins came up again. We were talking about Barnabas and Joan Collins.
They're part of the elite family. So the Collins family.
Collins and Bottoms.
I'm related to him. His great nephew or something. Michael Collins. Liam Neeson played him in that film. I'm directly related, not by law, on the other side, mother side. Michael Collins' great nephew or something.
Yes, you are.
Mm.
Fantastic.
I enjoyed the film. I enjoyed the film too, the way it was basically a bit of Braveheart, but, you know, Michael Collins. You know.
Mm.
Yeah, it was good. It was a good film.
I think this is one of the greatest Rick and Rollo shows we've ever done.
you're a classic. Didn't he just star in the new Leslie Nielsen?
Yes, he did. Apparently, it's really good.
Yes, I've heard. Yeah. He's got a sense of humor. I think he's 6'4".
Neeson's about 6'4", 6'5".
Yeah.
Big man.
Funny.
He was in that wonderful movie Taken. Remember that? The first one, not the rest of it. I think that was slop.
I tell you a really good movie that not a lot of people have known or seen. And it's got... what's his name? The Scottish comedian, married,
Billy Connolly.
It's called The Big Man, The Big Man. Now, I know personally Scotsmen of the highest magnitude, you know, in the pub every day of their lives, still going strong.
Awesome.
Living over in Australia now.
I think Billy's still with us.
Billy is. He's not well. But apparently, the big man was shot in a couple of friends of mine's hometown in Scotland, and they actually used. Have you ever seen the movie? It's about a boxer doing street fighting or whatever, and it's Liam Neeson, who is actually a boxer as well. He can actually do what he says.
Okay. And Billy Connolly's he's been knighted, Sir William Connolly. Born 22nd of November, 1942.
If you were Scottish or Irish and you accepted a knighthood, it means that you are up to no good. Because no Scotsman and no real Irishman would ever accept a fucking queen or kings.
My parents, when they were younger, they went there to a restaurant and they had a meal with Billy, and they had a really, really good time. Yeah. Because my parents were friends with the people that, well, they owned the restaurant. Yeah.
Where was this, Rollo? Where was this in England?
Here in Newcastle.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So.
No bullshit. No bullshit.
Billy's wife is Pamela Stevenson from,
from, Not the 9 o'clock News.
Yeah. She is a Kiwi and she came over and lived in Sydney. So it is in, the 70s rather.
Oh, early 70s. She was so hot.
She's beautiful. She was beautiful.
Oh, back in the day. You know what she does now? Pamela Stevenson does psychologist.
She was a psychologist.
She was in Superman. Yeah. Remember Superman 3?
Yeah, with Richard Pryor. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, yep.
She was a cutie in Superman 3. Yeah.
Did you ever see that?
I hated that movie.
There is a skit on Not the 9 o'clock News where she takes all her clothes off. You don't see her map of Tassie, but you see the rest, all the boobs and stuff.
Well, and apparently they met on that show, Billy Connolly and Pamela. She goes, "Hello, I'm Billy Connolly," and she's doing a thing. And he just fell in love with her. I think they've been married ever since.
Look, any male wants a female that has got a sense of humor.
Yeah.
Because they can have a great time together, you know.
I agree.
If a female laughs, the whole thing about relationships, you need to have a laugh.
Absolutely. He married Pamela Stevenson in 1989. They got five children.
Fucking hell. Are you serious?
No, I'm not.
I'll tell you what, if you've seen Pamela Stevenson naked, you'd know why he did that. He was falling on top of her and having children. She is absolutely beautiful.
She's clever and smart,
and she's got a great sense of humor.
That's what you want in a wife.
Exactly. If you can't laugh, you're fucked. They'll just say that. Yeah. If you have no sense of humor.
If you want to be happy for the rest of your life, never make a pretty woman your wife. That's why I married Christy. I never married her.
I cannot believe you just put yourself into the fucking dog box every time you mention that poor girl.
I'm always in the dog box, mate. I'm always in the shit, only the depth varies. You know what I mean?
I remembered what you guys were talking about with Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Mm-hmm.
We watched a John Candy documentary.
Yeah.
A little while ago.
I saw it. I loved it. It was a great documentary.
But what was that? Sorry.
Keep going.
Hey, is my phone fucked up? Because
No. We're talking over you. Keep going. It's the documentary. So
when I was trying to sing those damn songs for you, did you get 15 of them or 3 of them?
I've got 2.
Oh, okay.
And I appreciate it. But when you were singing over the top of what was the band? You were doing karaoke. Yeah, Pink Floyd. That's right. You were doing Pink Floyd.
Yeah. While we're talking about music, can I just say the revelation that I've had of late? Music that I used to listen to in the '70s that I used to think was commercial and it was like not worthy of it. The album Bat Out of Hell.
Yeah, Meatloaf.
Okay. Every time, and I'm listening to this particular show out of when I'm on my way home on Friday nights,
mm-hmm.
Which we've talked about before, the Coast FM 96.3 or 93.6, whatever it's called.
That's right.
This guy will play regularly the song Bat Out of Hell, and I'm telling you, that we have not got that level of musicianship whatsoever anymore. It's almost like classical. It's almost like Beethoven compared to what's being released right at the moment.
Yes.
You're listening to
Rigorola CPA with Susie.
No matter what your age,
you're listening to Conversation.
Or your affiliation.
On truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now, back to the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
You're listening to a Rick and Rollo episode number 68 on Truth Meets commercial, community radio station with Rock and Rollo and CZ. CZ is on here as well. And I better go. I've got to go off to the bathroom because I think I've had an accident. Bye.
You shit your pants like George Brett. Hey, Susie, thanks for being here. Mama loves a baby. Daddy loves it too.
So last night, to me, when I listened to, three songs came on as I was driving home on this Gosford.
94, it's low on the FM dial, isn't it?
It's 96.3 or 96.
Yeah, I was on 101.3 and now it's 104.9.
Anyway. Yeah. I listened to the album Bat Out of Hell, which I always consider just a commercial song.
Meatloaf's real name? Let's have a look. Keep going. Yeah.
I should know that. But anyway, if you listen to that album and any of the music that we were unleashed with in the mid to late 70s when FM radio came out, run by the military, and the naval intelligence, I'll just tell you now, naval intelligence ran the FM station. That album, Bat Out of Hell, with the voice, I mean, honestly, Meatloaf's voice, I would just call
it Meatloaf. Okay, so is Michael Lee Adai, born Adai. Melvin Adai. Lee Adai, born 17th of 27th on 1947 and died on 2022.
Melbourne?
Better known as his stage name is Meatloaf, and it was Bat Out of Hell. But I remember him. I remember him from that movie. Well, that midnight.
Are you saying Nazareth is an Australian band?
What's that? Sorry, Nazareth. Nazareth.
Hair of the dog.
We'd ever mention it. I don't know where you got Nazareth from.
Yeah, I don't know where you got that from. Yeah, remember? But I remember the song.
Why are we going Nazareth?
Hair of the dog.
Yeah, I used to play Nazareth, Hair of the Dog all the time on the Fart podcast.
Maybe we'll go out with that.
Maybe. But anyway, so Meatloaf.
It was the Rocky Horror Picture Show that I remember him from.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he was awesome in that.
So when you're listening to me now, even though I couldn't stand it back when I listened to it back the first time back in the 70s, Bat Out of Hell, the album, and the writers, the musicians on it, this is up there with classical music. Maybe not as up there with Beethoven, but it's a fucking close second. And
he always had a handkerchief next to his microphone. Remember, it was hanging off the microphone.
A big, fat, sweaty, ugly guy. But what a boy!
That's what it was.
He lost
all the weight. He lost all the weight in later years.
I've never
listened to that whole album. I've never done it.
Oh look, look! It's so professionally done. And I'm listening to the guitar solos. The fact that it changes different beats and it goes in different. I have to bow down before the album Bat Out of Hell. It is fucking incredible. And the last best one ever done was The Wall by Pink Floyd. We were talking about this before, Rollo. That album.
Yeah, well, it was Susie brought up. Susie brought up because she was doing – she sent me two audio recordings. Roger Waters, baby. What's it called?
Do you ever remember the song about Vera Lynn? Oh, someone else joined us. Hello.
So, Rollo, the Vera Lynn one came from the very last album Pink Floyd ever did. And that was the one about his father dying.
The Wall.
No.
The Wall.
Way after that. No, no.
Oh, yeah. I know. 1982.
Not
their last. It wasn't their last because.
It was.
They got back to 1987. They got back together.
I'm telling you.
It was different.
They never did any concept albums after. So The Wall and then the one that you're talking about, Vera Lynn, which is a fantastic album.
Vera Lynn.
Look it up.
Was.
Look it up.
On
what album?
No. I don't need to look it up. I remember it well.
On The Wall.
Yeah. It was On The Wall. The last one was, Roger Waters' Passion Project. And yeah, there were no good songs. Yeah.
There was.
1982. And then 1987.
You can lie between brown and wild eyes.
What's his name? Who was the lead guitarist? Dave Gilmore, right?
Dave Gilmore.
So yeah. Dave Gilmore came back in 1987. It was called A Delicate Sound of Reason or something.
This is before
Sound of Thunder.
Sound of Thunder. Yeah.
Yeah, this yeah.
And, and it was called Learning to Fly. Learning to Fly was a
great song.
Fantastic tune off that album. Yeah. And I was happy. All right, he didn't sing like Roger Waters, but Roger Waters and him still made friends. They still made friends afterwards.
Vera Lynn was on the wall. You know who else was on a wall? Humpty Dumpty.
Velo. G'day, buddy. Hey, Velo. Thanks for the sorry, Susie. Thanks for the can I say the name of your streaming service or not?
Don't mention it. It's members only.
It works perfect.
How good is it though? Like the user experience, the browsability. Well, you just pull things up and they work.
Last night, what do we watch on your streaming service? We watched Waiting for Guffman. We watched the first episode of Effervescence or what was it that Apple Plus.
Severance. Effervescence.
Severance. Yeah, we watched Severance. And then when I got home.
It was sponsored by Schweppes.
I was so drunk when I got home. And then I put on Back to the Future. And then this morning, because Robert Duvall died, I watched Today on your... I watched Apocalypse
How come
now
you haven't watched Pluribus? Fuck Severance. Get onto Pluribus, man. It shits all over
Pluribus.
That. It's another Apple TV original. That thing is mind-blowing. So many normies think it's so slow and boring. If you actually have a brain and you're contemplating real ideas, it's so much more interesting. Yeah. Way more interesting. You've seen it? Susie's seen it. Listen to Susie. How deep is it with like NPC theory? You're always thinking like, what would I do? What would this be like? What would I want to happen? You know?
Yep.
After I hang up tonight. I'm going to watch. I'll watch Pluribus. I just don't want to be led down the garden path.
No, Roland, it doesn't have a satisfying.
Well, that's why when I watched Severance. I liked what I watched, but am I watching something that's going to have a satisfying ending?
I loved it. I loved it. It's great.
Severance season one is satisfying. I don't think season two is as good, but I could probably imagine Pluribus will be much the same. As a standalone unit, season one was great. Who knows what they're going to do in season two? I'm starting to think, though, that maybe my thing here is forget Truth Meets. I'll just start... doing stream, I'll just become my own streaming provider and charging subscriptions for that because this is everyone's raving about that, and I haven't heard that much raving about Truth Meets for a while. So there you go.
I'm happy.
I rave about it.
I'm happy.
I know. I'm only kidding, Rick. You know what I mean? When you think of business ventures, I'm like, everyone seems to think that's awesome. So, yeah.
Hey, it's awesome because I actually watched, because you sent me the link.
Can I say something? Velo. If you were my son, what you did during the week, and you told me and Rick.
Rollo,
can you tell? Yeah. Can you tell?
That'll come out in time. Don't worry about it. That'll be fine. Don't worry.
Yeah,
we'll announce it. I'll announce that news when it's time.
I'm so proud of you.
To give everyone a little preview, I'm the first man to get pregnant ever.
I nearly threw up my beer then, Jollo. It's very good. Very good.
Don't be Rollo. Don't be Rollo. No, that's cool.
Yeah, Rollo, well done.
There's something I haven't told you about myself all these years.
I watched Waiting for Guffman and Severance and on Your Service. And it was perfect. It came through like totally.
That's great.
It's better than Netflix. It's high level, really high level. Chrissy's so that, in her
that
house.
Comes from yeah. all the. I think I might have mentioned this the other week or Fakeology. I remember mentioning it somewhere, but basically, I'm rebuilding the library, accruing the best quality I can. So the masters are all stored as good as they can. I'm busy now dedicating a month of recoding James Bond material to like redo that library. Ooh, it'll just be an ongoing process of keeping everything top quality. But depending upon your internet, if you've got great internet, it'll stream you the full quality. If you're on your mobile phone roaming around, it'll like downscale it a little bit. But basically it's doing everything for you live. It streams everything live to each. None of the source material is in 4K yet. I think Severance actually was, but there's not many that are in 4K. It's all 1080p high def Blu-ray, but they're all stored that way. The idea is I want to keep them all really good on file, but each person who streams something is getting a unique experience. It's like transcoding it just for you based on your internet speed and what your device can handle. So it is really custom, and I can't I can't do it at scale. Like, you could probably have two, possibly three people on at a time. I've got some extra video cards here I've invested in. I'm going to install, I'll pass them through and get that set up. Wow. So it can actually scale up and you could have like 10, 20 people maybe watching movies at once. So there's potential. Brilliant. It's like a financial investment to go down the hardware path and get the equipment to do it. But, at the moment, it's just all software driven. So it does need a certain amount of computing power to make it happen. Screencast, it depends on people's things. So with Rollo and Christy, they can just open it on their phone and just screencast it to their TV. That's the setup they have. It depends on your setup.
We don't even have to do that. We've set it up. Christy set it up in a way that all I have to do is, she put it, just like Netflix. And all I have to do is click the button.
So it's an app. It's an app on the TV.
On the TV. And,
okay. Well, there you go. So
can you tell me how to do that?
Some people have the opportunity to have the app itself on their TV, and they can just log in. Other people, you may need to. Mm-hmm. If you've got AirPlay, the app might not be there for Apple TV, so you have to open it on your phone and screencast it to the TV. It's different in every circumstance. There's no right or wrong way. It's just whatever, like, it's different for everyone. But what I'm providing is all the same. It's just how you get it to your TV is the issue.
Jollo, you sent me Dark City, and on my phone, it looked like I was watching a 4K movie at the highest resonance.
That's good to hear. That's right. You worked on that film with William Hurt, but I've never
watched the film. And Joel sent me his streaming service.
He sent me, and I'm going,
this is like really high quality visuals. So it was 10 out of 10, Joel.
At the end of the day, though, what I'm hosting isn't any corporate affiliation, right? Of course. So there's no only Netflix shows or only Hulu Plus or only this or that. But you've got to be aware that all the things on there are things that I like. So it's all you're getting a curate. Everything on the service is my taste. But I think it's all the movies are pretty like esoteric movies. Yes. And all the TV shows are just hype. If they're sitcoms, it's like MASH and things that I like, classic things that I like that are highbrow and like fast paced. I don't think anyone who I'd give an account to will probably like most of the things that are on there.
I thought it was unbelievably clear, and I was like going far at me, but I couldn't work out how to share it onto, because what I want to watch it on is my big TV in my lounge room, not my mobile phone. So,
See if you can find the you know what I'm saying when I say JF app. Just see if you can get the JF app for your TV, if it can install it natively. And then you can log in there. You need a way to screencast.
Yeah, unfortunately, my other son, Heinrich, will be back tomorrow.
He can help you tomorrow. Do it tomorrow.
I swear, Velo, my 600 donations already paid off. I looked through the whole movie collection.
Yeah.
And I looked through the whole TV collection and I went, I want to watch all of that stuff.
Mm. Yeah. But, so your $600 is fucking 100%.
Yeah. I should also, now that the owner of the site showed up, I should also acknowledge that anyone might have noticed the bumpers have been playing with Rollo's little credit. Because Rollo finally, like after the pressure from last week he was sick, but the week before that, Rick and I applied a little bit of pressure. And I said, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on you. And then after that, everything came to fruition and you supported the site. Yeah. So you now have your month of bumpers and there's your donation gift on its way to you. And I do very much appreciate
for keeping
my little baby alive. I use my
own Betold coffee mug with complete sealed whatever. I put tea bags or coffee, whatever I want to put into it, or water. It is awesome.
That's brilliant.
And I've got my own photo on the fucking.
I can't wait for it, Bella. I can't wait for it.
We're all looking forward to teabagging you as well.
I've been teabagged before. I know what that means.
You'd probably enjoy it though, Rollo. That's the problem there.
I didn't even know what teabagging was back in the day, but there you go.
It's a thing.
Joel,
again, it's been a fantastic week for you. It's been a... Well, obviously a fantastic week for Rollo because he's a better, because he couldn't even speak last week. So everything's good.
I had a headache, I had double vision, and I lost my voice.
That is scary.
You hear me clearly now, yeah.
Yep.
Oh, when you lose your voice. When John Laws was on air one time and he really had a dodgy voice on...
Rollo and I talked a little while after, like that night. I tried to call him to find out what was wrong, and then he ignored
I
that.
Know,
that was
I
fine.
Know,
I was okay. I understood later. I gave you a call.
I thought you were cranky.
We caught up with my good. No. I just wanted you'd done the donation. I was keen for you to be on a show. That's all. But we talked later. Yeah. It's all fine. You've given a big donation, so I really wanted to just be there for the bumpers. There was like new things I'd done.
We made up for it all.
And then the night we talked, and I gave you my good news. You were very happy about that. So we've all caught up, and it's really a shame you're on the outs with Christy, because since you have double vision, you could have twins for a change. But oh well.
I'm not on the outs. I couldn't be more friendly with Chrissy. I tell you, I'm not on the outs. It's just when you get older, you know, we drift apart, and my sense of humor and her sense of humor or whatever, you know what it is. It just you drift apart. Whereas you guys have always been there. It's like an on. I'm thinking of what we're doing now is like waiting for Guffman. Is like, you know, there's Susie there and playing, Catherine O'Hara. I would like to play Christopher
it's
Guest.
It's funny that Susie, who's
and you, Rick,
fan,
you, Rick, would be big, Eugene Levy. You'd be Eugene Levy and Belisette would be,
Julie Andrews. It's funny that Susie's also a massive fan of the Guffman crew and, you know, those things. Obviously, she has the same sense of humour as us, which we do. We've got a great sense of humour. And that's all the
favorite.
Yeah. They're all good. Brilliant. Oh, he's so funny. You're listening to...
No matter what your age,
you're listening to Conversation.
Or your affiliation.
On truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now, back to the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
Listening to Rick and Rollo on the 21st of February, 2026. I think we've got the fakeologist in the background too. I haven't heard his voice, but he's there. And Susie.
He is there. You're right. Hey.
No? Well, we gave you the opportunity. Susie, I saw your bird feeder frozen solid with these poor little birds trying to get some. That's sad. That makes me sad.
They were happy.
I'm sure they were.
All of the water in their neighborhood is frozen, and they were like, "Fuck yeah, we got some warm water here."
How did you do it? Did you tip warm water into your bird feeder?
No, I have a bird bath warmer.
Oh, that should be a thing.
They were so happy.
Oh, poor little things. I get upset with nature. Nature upsets me.
They were very happy.
You said Julie Andrews in the break, so I can talk now. Can
I? Yes, you can.
I'm going to head off soon. But this is a song I'd really like to go out with. We played Metal Church on Rick and Rollo 67.
Yes.
Well, this is just me. Ralph McTell. Do you remember Ralph McTell?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, so it's called The Streets of London. I'll send it to
really, Rollo. Really. Rollo, why would you want to depress people that listen to the show with that song?
Hey, can I tell you guys a church story?
But it's not depressing.
It fucking is so. I'd rather hear the Anti-Nowhere Leagues version of it, though. That's fantastic.
Wait, Anti-Nowhere? Really? Do they do a really good version?
The Streets of, they do a great version of that song.
Let's do that. Anti-Nowhere.
But it is true about the streets of London. Because the streets, I'm telling you now, and I hate to be a negative person.
My parents met Ralph in 1970.
And
he met Mick Jagger, that's right. In 1960 something.
Yeah. And your father sat in the bar with the lead singer from Kiss.
Oh, yeah, Paul Stanley. Yeah, Paul Stanley. Yeah, that's right. He didn't even know who he was. It was a bit like, you remember that movie, The Shining?
Yes.
And he was just there on his own. And my father goes, this long-haired, American comes up and starts, trying to have a chat with him. And my father didn't want to have anything to do with anyone at that moment. He was there what was the name of the barman in The Shining?
Lloyd.
So Lloyd came up and anyway, my father bought him a drink. He goes, "You're American." He goes, yeah, that's right. And, they went off somewhere else. Kiss went somewhere else. And he was there alone at the bar the next night.
Do you know who you were talking to?
Yeah, that's right. It's classic, isn't it? And my father didn't even care. He couldn't care less. But he knew that I liked him as an 8-year old.
Yeah, you were in the Kiss Army.
Yeah, so he came home and he said.
His army member,
absolutely. And he shook his hand. So I shook my father's hand.
Was it of second?
And that means I was second generation away from Paul Stanley.
So you're one. What's it called?
I know it's crazy.
About, it's called that thing about
degrees.
Fucking act.
Oh yeah, two degrees.
Kevin Bacon.
Two degrees.
Kevin Bacon. Rollo
was 2 degrees of Paul Stanley.
Kevin Bacon was in that movie Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. And if you watch the film at the beginning,
he was
a little cameo when Steve Martin's running for the cab.
Yeah,
he has such a funny run. He has a funny run, like when I run in baseball.
But Steve Martin is an absolute. So Steve Martin's background, he was a Disney. He worked for Disney. As a circus kind of clown, because he could play banjo. Have you ever seen the movie?
His banjo playing is superb. He was superb in what was that one with Michael Caine?
With the Dirty Rotten Scoundrel.
Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, which was a remake of a 1950s film.
The most famous actors ever. Originally, it had Susie.
Great movie.
Original Dirty Rotten Scoundrels though actually had the guy from.
Do you want me to look it up? Oh yeah, I'll look it up.
We're just
1950s film.
Yeah, but it had Marlon Brando and someone else. Yeah.
Was it as funny as the one with Michael Caine? Because
Michael Caine
played the straight guy.
I know, but Marlon Brando is such a fucking amazing actor. That guy can fucking just...
Oh, yeah, yeah. My father loved On the Waterfront. It's one of his favorites.
Stella!
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Great movie.
What are we looking up? I forget.
The original Dirty Rotten Scoundrels movie,
Scoundrels, all right, original,
And it was David Niven and Marlon Brando. Then you've got...
Oh, there you go, you already know.
Yeah, right. And I'm not even using a computer, Rollo, I'm using my own brain.
Your mind.
And then you've got
Was it as funny as the
I would say I would say because if Marlon Brando and David Niven are in anything, you're going to see the brilliant. And David Niven again, I can talk about him.
Yeah, he left John Lennon out in the middle of the ocean or something on his yacht. I read that in a book.
Well, David Niven, all his books like the Balloon's a Maloon. So the Moon's a Balloon by David Niven is well worth reading because he was a guy in old Hollywood and he was great friends with...
That's right. He was supposed to be the star of the Pink Panther.
Yes.
But then Peter Sellers took over and stole every scene.
Yeah. So David Niven was in the original James Bond movie as well.
Casino Royale.
With Woody Allen. With Woody Allen as well. 100%. You're listening to the greatest show ever on Be Told. Rick and Roller. Yeah. Rick and Roller.
Remember Peter Sellers wanted to be taken seriously, like when he did Casino Royale and they go, no, Blake Edwards said to him, you're here for comedy.
Yeah.
And he wanted to be taken. Love. What was it called? The Life and Death of Peter Sellers, played by that Australian actor.
Him. From the movie,
Jeffrey Rush.
They attempted to cancel him like they did with several other actors back in the day, but they lost because Jeffrey Rush took them to court and had them fucking
good on
him. I think they had to pay him $10 million for what they said about him. They said he was groping chicks. Now, we've already talked about this in the Rick and Rollo show tonight. High level about if people who are really groping chicks, and that was the director from we talked about just before.
Oh, yeah, Brian Singer, Rolf Harris, who else?
We're talking about...
The guy from Miramax, what was his name?
The French director of... The French director.
I don't want to get the name wrong. I don't want to get sued.
No, we're talking about the French director of the movie, the Ninth Element or the Fifth Element. The Fifth Element.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It was Luc Besson.
Yeah. And then we talked about, Pretty Baby. The director of that movie, another one that was having young females groped by directors.
When Brian Singer came to Australia, I knew the guy was a creep.
He's creepy.
When they played, what was it, Superman Returns? I went and watched the scene in Newcastle when they filmed it here.
Yeah, they did.
Because they had the noir Russell building.
Crowe. And Russell Crowe.
No, not Russell Crowe. It was... No, it wasn't. Yeah, the Russell Crowe. I know the one you're thinking of, but it wasn't Russell Crowe. It was Brandon Ralph. Remembers who that guy is?
There you go. Not me.
I do because I got a good memory. Yeah, I haven't had that much to drink tonight. The Imogulus don't seem to be kicking in, but that's
okay. This is the greatest Rick and Rollo show ever recorded, in the history of Rick and Rollo shows. We've done about, I reckon, fucking hundreds of shows. It would have to be hundreds of shows.
Well, we've done 68. What was the other show that we used to do on Fake Old?
The Fart Podcast.
The Fart. That's right. Yeah. Again, I've gone through all my notes. I'm looking through all my notes. I think I've got through everything. Donald Trump. Oh yeah, says there's aliens or something. You know, Area 51.
Area 51. Really? Is he there?
He said Barack Obama. This is the way he termed it. Something like this. I'm paraphrasing now, right? You're not allowed to talk about what's it called when you're under a sort of a where you're not allowed to
a gag order.
Hey, Paco, g'day, mate.
Hey,
mate. Hey, thanks for joining us.
It's okay.
Hey, buddy.
It's good. A gag order. He's under a gag order.
In Canada. Yeah, what's going on, Canada? What's up?
Just trying to stay above freezing.
Hey, do you guys have a snowstorm on Wednesday? Your weather looked freaking ass crazy on Wednesday.
It was a beat down. It was ice and snow, and it was ugly. Yesterday was a pretty bad rainstorm. I got soaked outside.
Wow.
Cheap Timu jacket back because the zipper was so cheap it broke. So I'm walking around with my jacket open because I couldn't fasten it. So I sent it back.
God, what are the petrol prices over there, or gasoline as you call it over there? You're always
about $1.25 Canadian a liter. I was in New York. I was in New York State last Monday, and I did the math. It was $1.10 a liter. So their taxes are pretty close to ours when it comes to gas.
Don't they have a terrorist? Mam Dami is the mayor or governor or whatever.
New York State is nowhere near New York.
Oh, I thought you...
Yeah, where I went was the absolute farthest point in the state away from New York City.
My bad.
I was on the other diagonal. Yeah.
Yeah.
And one man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter. So be careful how you label people.
Yeah, we've got freedom of speech here, mate. We can speak our mind.
You don't live in the United States. We don't have freedom of speech in the British Empire. I think that's a lie.
What do you think of the arrest of Andrew?
More theater.
Yeah,
more theater. Yep.
Let's
be honest. All these guys, the king, the royal, they're all actors because they don't have any money or power. They're put in power by the nobility, who they want a buffer between the commoners and the nobility. So they put this clown show in to keep you entertained. I guess it's working. Yeah. And one other point that Margaret, who listens to my show and your show, maybe she brought up the point that these billionaires, number one, they can get any person they want legally, because there's many countries where you can dabble in youngsters legally. I don't know which countries those are, but that's what she said. And the other thing that you got to think about is older men, they don't want younger girls. That's the lie. What do they want? You know?
I don't agree with that.
No, tell me what they want, because I'd be keen to find out.
They want young boys. Ooh. They don't want girls. Have you ever heard about one abused boy in this whole fake Epstein story? No, because to me that's the cover story. Older men are pederasts.
Yeah.
That's normally how it goes. We haven't heard of one buggered boy. So that's more proof that this whole story is a smokescreen for whatever might really happen.
Yeah. Look, Ab, I'm there with whatever Linertel comes up with. I'm just going, I just sit there going, yeah.
I don't know what she believes in with Epstein, honestly. I can't figure her out sometimes.
I know a fair bit about the Epstein story and where it's going to go. And I see her, what she says, I never disagree with whatever she says. I always think, you know, she's 100% on the money with a lot of her claims. I've listened to, what's his name, Fake News Phil, and all those shows. And
thank you, Rick.
I'm there. Well, it's on my regular listening thing.
I love Fake Nukes. I think he's cool.
Well, he's good, but I don't have to believe that everything he says is real. But he's just got a good. He sounds good. He sounds good, and he's got a.
Like Rizzoli on, or you want him off?
Oh, no, not off. I think he's fantastic. He's saying things that other people don't want to hear. I want to hear controversy. I want to hear other people, what they think. I don't want to hear mainstream media. I cannot stand mainstream media. And Rollo, you're 100% the same with me. Mainstream media makes you sick. You hear this.
Like him because he goes, Phil, I like Phil. He's cool, you know, like I like him. But what the fuck are you talking about? This and that?
Exactly.
Like, you know, I love that. And then it stops your brain from.
The accent.
I love it. It sounds good to me.
Everybody loves Jim. Okay. I get mixed reviews.
Yeah, but that's the problem, Ab. And it's like, you know, are you listening to people that are real people or people that are just attacking, you know, Jim?
He's not an attacker. He's just like, what the fuck are you talking about? Everything's fake to you. Everything's this and that.
Yeah. I love that. I want to hear original thought. I don't care. Yeah. Whether I agree or disagree with it, I want to hear someone saying original thought, not something been quoted off mainstream media that, you know, or this was spoken.
We're not all singing and preaching to the choir or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, I don't want to hear the preaching. I don't care. Look, even if I disagree with somebody, I want to hear that voice. And that's why I love Lynn. You know, what the fuck? You know, I love the way that she gets angry and she goes, yeah, the fucking YouTube. That's fantastic. You're listening to
Rick and Roll. I love that. Yeah.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
All right. Rick and Rollo, 68, Saturday, the 21st of February, 2026, truthmeets.com. We're here with Rick, obviously, and we're here with Susie.
Oh, hey.
Vellaset and Fakeologist from Fakeologist.com.
The Fakeologist.
From Fakeologist.com. I'm not
esoteric.
Too much longer, but I'm really appreciating
your
conversation.
We'll give us 30 minutes, and I'll be out as well after 30 minutes.
Are you sure I can't go out with Ralph McTell? What's the version? What's the version that you said that's a little bit more upbeat?
The Anti Nowhere League's Streets of London.
Anti Nowhere League's version of it. Yep. So we'll go out with that one. You guys, chatting away is,
we've all done
the whole
me and you and Ab, you've done 16 years. I've done, 50, I think you've done 14 years. Something
else. He started in 2012. Yeah, his first great interview was with Simon Chak or Simon Hyten.
Ab, sorry to interrupt, but Ab, did you hear Germ Warfare had Simon Chak on last week?
I did not know that.
Where is that?
It's on the latest Germ Warfare, but I'll give you a warning.
He's still alive. He's still alive, yeah.
Well, it's called Germ Warfare, Simon Chak. It's the Tycho's model. They're discussing Tycho's. Now, I'm going to be honest here.
That's awesome.
I have not got a scientific brain. It is way over my pay grade. So when I listened to it, I was going,
It's like Ab when he's interviewing Jim Fetzer or something, and you're just like, what are you talking about?
Over my pay grade. Anyway, so Germ Warfare has Simon Chak.
Wow.
And I'm telling you now.
What did he do with them? How did it go?
It went fantastic, but Simon Chak kind of knew that he's talking above his pay grade. But even though Germ Warfare knows how to say, I actually don't understand what you're talking about. So
can you throw that into the chat if you find the
interview? I listened to the whole show.
Did you not bring up 9/11 at all?
Yeah, exactly.
No. Not really. It was all about the Tycho's model.
All right. Yeah. No 9/11.
I think it may get brought up.
I don't see it on the Germ RSS feed yet.
This is the problem. I contacted Mark Devlin last week and I said, look, I cannot share our interview that me and you did with him onto your YouTubes. Now, he's got now 6,000 to 7,000 people listening to that show me and you did with him, but I cannot add anything and say, there's people going, oh, who's that guy, Rick or esoteric or whatever. I cannot comment. It just gets deleted. So there's a big attack going on for sure. But the Simon Chak interview was very good. It's about the Tycho's model. It's on Germ Warfare.
Not Flat Earth. It was.
Yeah, it's not on my feed, though, so maybe it'll come down later. I'll listen to it as soon as it comes on my feed.
Yeah, okay. Well, I thought it was good, and but I could hear Simon's voice getting frustrated because he knew that he was like just talking to himself when it comes to this, because this is a very complicated subject. Anyone that knows about the
time. Simon speaks quite a few languages, doesn't he?
He speaks five languages.
Italian,
Rollo,
yeah,
he speaks
that's right.
five languages. And they bring that up and the thing. And can you imagine being that kind of intelligent and you're going to be talking to in La La Land? Because most people
September Clues is one of the greatest movies to ever been deleted from the internet. Yeah. honestly, I thought, you know, the music, you know, that what's it called? Social service or whatever his band
It was fantastic. Look, obviously Simon Shack.
He was the first to come out against the vaccines that were killing people.
Yep.
He knew it. Yep.
What?
Yeah, and
who was the first to come out?
There were the whole.
There were
a whole bunch of people in Italy, old people, that took the clot shot.
Really bad.
And they all died overnight. One of them.
I don't think that none of that's true. I think they had the flu shot in 2019. That was the same type of delivery system. They didn't all die overnight.
What's the fucking difference between the flu shot?
I was making stuff up.
The flu shot is the worst one out there. Next to the 100%.
Hey, Ab. I don't bullshit about serious subjects like this. And he was definitely
but what you're
on
saying,
the money.
You have no evidence for what you just said. But I'm not saying people will die from.
I don't have evidence.
Okay, that's good.
I wasn't in New York. I didn't see the towers collapses in my own sight. But I know that it was a complete bullshit.
They didn't collapse. They were demolished.
I know. There you go. See? How do you know that? Were you in New York that Tuesday? Because it's the only
way you can take towers down. It's the only way you can take big buildings down. That's all.
Yeah, I know that. But you weren't there if you're going to say that. Yeah, you know what you were saying before.
I am going to say it because there's no other way to take a big building down except piece by piece, which is what they do here. They don't blow up buildings in Toronto. They take them down piece by piece, and it's quite painfully slow.
Yeah.
You understand that?
Yeah.
There's only two ways to take a building down, as far as I know, in reality. In the movies, you can do anything.
That's right. And back in the day, and Simon Shack showed with the nose in, nose out that no planes hit the buildings that day, and they were just demolished. And they've
piece
got their,
piece,
their
that's
freedom.
Slayer song.
Go, Susie.
Slayer,
stay tuned.
Slayer, piece by piece. Slayer.
Piece by piece. Slayer. Oh, what a great band! Yeah, Dave. What was his name?
There's no Dave's in Slayer.
Jeff Lombardo. I remember my favorite Slayer song was actually Angel of Death. You remember that song? Angel of Death. Angel of Death. Monarch to the Kingdom of the Dead.
Yeah,
Kerry King. Kerry King played the did he play the lead? I know Dave Lombardo, Kerry King.
I know it's cool. You guys were talking
They were in a classic, a funny movie with you remember the rap guys in 1986 called, you know, you got to fight for your right to party.
Yeah, the
Beastie Boys.
Hey, Rollo,
in that.
Rollo, I reckon that's the song we go out with tonight.
You're going to fight for your rights. Yeah, that sounds good to me.
I love that song. And, you know, there's so much.
I do.
What's his name? What's his name?
At least me and you, Rick. We agree. Yes. We agree. I love agreeing with you. And yeah.
We'll send that to Jolo, and that's.
I'll do it. I'll do it.
We'll send that. Send that to Jolo, and we'll go up with that tonight. Because I think I was probably at the time where I disappeared as well.
Yeah,
I just want to tell my metal church story really, really, really quick.
Do it.
When I was in sixth grade, me and my friend Ron, we really wanted to go to this metal church concert with Megadeth, but you're in sixth grade. What the hell are you going to do? You can't drive there. If no one takes you, you're not going to get there. And it wasn't on my bus route. So they had a signing at a record store that day. You can just go and get the autograph. Mm-hmm. So at playground time, we hopped the fence and left school and got on a bus and went to the record store. And we got autographs by Megadeth and Metal Church.
Awesome.
And I know we were just 11, but there's a guy named Gar Samuelson in Megadeth. He's dead now, but he said to me, "You're really nice too."
He's mega dead.
I was in.
Oh my god! Oh my god! Yeah. So I'm telling you now, that's not normal, Susie. That is not normal. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
What did he say to you? Guys,
you got really nice tits.
Well, I did. I grew my tits in fifth grade, so now I'm in sixth grade. So now they're a little,
Susie, that
I grew my tits. It's like you had a say in it. Like you started putting water and fertilizer and grew my tits.
I know.
Whatever you have to do.
Do lots of milk. Whatever you do. Yeah. How exactly do you grow them? What is the secret? Because you grow a lot of stuff every season.
Susie,
lots of sunlight.
As a junior groupie, this is completely unnatural and not to be tolerated, as far as I'm concerned, especially when you have children.
What about the white pointers last week? Come on, Rick. Last week, or the big pointers?
Now, there's a girl. These are women at the beach, and I'm not talking about young people. I'm talking about whatever they were, and they had their tops off.
All right,
it's fantastic if they want to do that. But if they're young girls and you're a dirty old man coming up and going, these are fantastic. Please.
I send five for your right to Velo. So,
I feel good night. That.
You want to rock right on out of here now? Is that what you're going for?
Yeah.
Well, thank you, guys. I just meant to say hello.
Good. Thank you, Bella. So, Joel, if you want to
play that Fight for Your Right at the party, and then if we want to hang around afterwards, we'll be on.
Oh, you're doing an after show.
There's enough people here to warrant it.
Thank you, Fakeologist, too, as well.
Yeah, and we'll talk after the song Fight for Your Right at the party. Room.
I love that fan sound of your process.
Just be sure, too, once the song stops, leave a little gap for me to cut it so I can finish the song. Everyone always talks straight away off the end, and it means it has to become one. Once the song stops, let me end that episode, leave a little gap, and then talk. I only need 2 seconds to cut it. That's all I need. That's okay.
Okay.
But thank you guys tonight for your well wishes, your appreciation of the Velocet streaming service, and all the other things. I've had a good time.
We love it.
I've got a good time hearing compliments. I love that. Okay.
We love you. Right. We love Joel.
All right. See you, bud.
Good.
TruthMeets.com. Rick and Rollo. Rick and Rollo.
Classes.
1, 2, cut it.